AFP Audio is today talking to William Smith, who's a senior consultant in the Department of Clinical Immunology and Allergy at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Welcome, William.
Thank you.
So, William is the author of a focus article in the January-February 2013 edition of Australian Family Physician titled Adverse Drug Reactions, Allergy, Side Effect or Intolerance. So, I suppose one thing we run across in general practice quite commonly in clinical practice is that people talk about, oh, that drug doesn't suit me, or oh, I had a problem with that drug. And I suppose there's two groups where that happens, one of which is where a current symptom is blamed on a drug, and the second of which is when you're talking about prescribing in the future and someone's getting a bit worried about that. Thinking first about a potential possible current drug reaction, what are some of the important considerations then that GPs should be taking into account when trying to assess that?
Yes, thanks. Well, what we're talking about here is somebody who has started on a new medication. They may or may not have taken it before. But sometime following the beginning of taking the new medication, they develop symptoms. And those symptoms may be fairly obvious allergic symptoms such as rash, or there may be other effects, nausea, a headache, etc. And the considerations that you need to make, and this is really generally common sense, is really is the symptom caused by the medication that you've just started the patient on? And then how severe is the symptom? And does that necessitate stopping that medication? Do the risks of carrying on with the medication outweigh the risks of not using the medication, which presumably you've started them on for a good reason? There's relatively little, most of this is clinical judgment. There's relatively little you can do in terms of tests to determine that a symptom is caused by a drug. The obvious thing is withdrawal of the drug to see if the symptom improves, if that is an easy option. And occasionally, if it's not a dangerous symptom, you might re-challenge to see if the symptom recurs, and that's considered fairly reasonable proof that the drug is the cause of the symptom in question. If the situation is a little more severe, for example, if the patient has a severe rash, it might be worthwhile to do a skin biopsy or to do blood counts to look for eosinophilia. And if the patient has what seem to be acute allergic manifestations or even anaphylaxis, sometimes it can be useful to do a serum tryptase test just to confirm that that's what's been happening.
Yep. And so, even with the best assessment, the utility for anyone down the track is quite limited if there isn't good documentation about the reaction and the assessment. Can you outline what are some of the key things that would ideally be contained in a record that's about us in the...
Yeah. Well, look, as you've implied, Carolyn, quite often one comes across a situation where a patient has a previous history of an adverse reaction or a suspected adverse reaction to a drug, and one is not always sure of what to make of that. And it is helpful to record as much information about the adverse reaction at the time that it occurs or shortly afterwards so that in the future, future practitioners can assess the situation more accurately. And so there's a list of things that we recommend to be recorded. Obviously, the name of the drug or drugs in question, and even the trade name is useful because some different brands of drugs may use different excipients, and rarely those can be responsible for side effects. The dose and the route of administration of the drug, because some effects are dose-related. Obviously, the timing of commencement of the medication and in relation to the commencement of the onset of the adverse reactions that you're concerned about. A detailed description of the reaction, which may allow us to determine the nature or the type of the reaction. How severe it is and what management's required. Is it a severe reaction that maybe has required the administration of additional medications or even hospitalisation, or is it a mild reaction that was tolerated fairly easily? And that could obviously be used to determine whether the medication should be used again in the future. It's often useful to record, well, it's very useful to record also, what was the reason why the medication was being used? And there are several reasons for recording that. One is that the adverse reaction in question or the adverse symptoms might have been caused by the illness that you were treating rather than the drug that you gave the patient. The other situation is where specific conditions interact with drugs to lead to specific reactions. For example, the well-known one is the Epstein-Barr virus infection interacting with amoxicillin to produce a rash, which doesn't indicate future allergy to amoxicillin. The other is that patients with a fever have a higher propensity to develop adverse reactions of some types. And then the final thing, may not be the final thing, there may be even more information, but the final thing that we would recommend is that there's a record kept of any other medications that are being used at the time concurrently, because obviously there's a potential for medication interaction which can also cause adverse symptoms.
Okay, and all of that is summarised in Table 1 in the article, if people want to have a look there. So the article talks in detail about three types of adverse drug reactions: allergies, side effects and intolerance, and Table 3 has some illustrative examples. But starting with drug allergies, what do we know about the natural history of drug allergy reactions?
Well, drug allergy is a special case because true allergy is mediated through the immune system, and we can distinguish drug allergies from other adverse reaction to drugs. It's not always easy to distinguish them, but because of their mechanism, they are a distinct group. The nature of the immune system is that repeated exposure to a drug will cause an escalating severity of reactions. But what's perhaps less known is that a long period of non-exposure to the drug may lead to a waning of the immune response. And so there tends to be, the natural history tends to be that a reaction will occur to a medication that is based on allergy, and if there's a subsequent exposure within a relatively short period of time, perhaps in the period of years, then the reaction may well be worse in severity than the first one. But if a period of 10, 20, 30 years goes by, the reaction may not occur. Now, obviously, that can never be predicted with certainty, but there's certainly a lower risk of the reaction occurring. The other important thing about natural history, which I should emphasise, is that patients will often say, I can't be allergic to that drug. I took it a year ago and nothing happened. The important thing about that is, and I'm sure we all realise with immune reactions, that by definition you can't be allergic to something when you're first exposed to it. You have to have one or more exposures to develop an immune response, and then subsequently you become allergic.
Yep. And I suppose one of the other things that patients sometimes talk about is being allergic to a drug. Are there any common reasons why sometimes this isn't actually the case, or where we should be perhaps digging a bit deeper?
Yes, well, we know that it's very common to get a history of a drug reaction or allergy in the past. And for some of the reasons that I've already mentioned, that may not turn out to be the case. For example, a reaction may have occurred which was due to the disease being treated rather than the drug itself, or it may have occurred due to a different drug to the one that was blamed. For example, a patient who has a fever being given aspirin and penicillin, getting a rash, assumed it's penicillin allergy, it might have been the aspirin. It could be a reaction that occurs only in the presence of a certain disease or a certain other condition, so they may no longer be allergic when the drug is being used for another different indication. It's surprising how often an allergy is blamed on a drug. For example, a patient has a history in childhood of allergy to an antibiotic, and it's usually assumed it's penicillin because that's the one that most people remember, but it may not have been. And even more surprising is cases that I've certainly seen personally where a mother will come in with an older child and say, I think my child's allergic to this drug, but gee, I'm really not sure. It might have been their brother or their sister. I can't remember. So it's really quite interesting that, there are lots of reasons why people who think they're allergic may not be. And the other final reason is that, in fact, they may well have been genuinely allergic, but if that's 20 or 30 years ago, they may no longer be allergic.
Yep. And so when might it be important to refer for specialist evaluation of a possible drug allergy?
Well, firstly, we need to define which reactions we would call allergy, and those are reactions which obviously would include anaphylaxis, but also urticaria, angioedema, and other forms of acute rash following the use of a drug. They're the most common forms of allergy, the cutaneous manifestations or the systemic anaphylaxis. Occasionally, though, one sees patients with immunologically mediated hepatitis or renal disease which are related to a drug. And the circumstances in which you might want to refer to a specialist, now firstly, if a patient has a history of a drug allergy and there's no pressing need to administer the drug or any related drug, well, obviously there's no need for a referral. But if a patient has a history of an allergy and there really is a strong indication to use that drug or a related drug, and if the allergy is not certain, in other words, if the history is quite certain and definite, well, I'm afraid you're just not going to be able to use the drug. But if the history is uncertain and there's a strong indication, then it's often useful to have that further assessed by a specialist. And occasionally, even in a case where we know the patient is definitely allergic to the drug or has a recent history of a, you know, very highly likely allergy, we may still administer the drug under a desensitization protocol, but that usually needs to be done in hospital with very close observation. So those are the circumstances that might warrant referral.
Yep, and that's summarised in Table 6 and Figure 1 in the article if people want to have a bit of a look at that. So moving away from allergy to side effects, which are more related to the pharmacological effects of a drug, what are some of the key points about side effects for GPs and their relevance for future prescribing?
Well, firstly, I should say that as an immunology and allergy specialist, clearly I see a lot more allergy to drugs than I do side effects, but it is worthwhile to distinguish allergy from side effects, and side effects are reactions that occur, adverse reactions that occur, that are based on the pharmacological action of the drug. And we might say that, for example, opiates can cause, as we know, are intended to cause analgesia, but by the same opiate effect on the receptors that are needed to produce the therapeutic effect, they can also produce adverse effects such as nausea or drowsiness. And those, therefore, tend to relate more to the pharmacological effects of the drug. They may occur on the first exposure to the drug, and they're not necessarily going to be any greater with subsequent re-exposure. And the side effects as a whole, as a group, may tend to be less dangerous than perhaps anaphylaxis or a severe allergic rash, although there are clearly side effects that can be dangerous as well. So the side effects is a more of a diverse group. Allergies is based on the immune system, and so there's only a limited number of manifestations that can occur. Side effects can affect a wide, diverse range of organ systems, and therefore can produce a diverse range. One thing about side effects is that generally they're reasonably well recognised in drugs that have been around for a while, so that there will be lists of the more well-known side effects of the common drugs. And, you know, for example, erythromycin causing nausea, it's a fairly well-known side effect, and I think everybody would be aware of that one. And so that's often a useful thing, is to consult the lists of common side effects.
And the article also mentions that other drugs with a similar pharmacological action, so within the same therapeutic class, may well produce the same effects, so may well produce similar side effects.
Yeah, and I mean, this is another interesting distinction between allergy and side effects. If you have a side effect to a drug, it's based on the pharmacological action, not the drug structure. So the chemical structure of the drug may not be critical. It's the pharmacological effect. And you can have drugs, for example, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs have a wide variety of structures, the actual chemical structure, but they all have a similar effect by inhibiting the COX-1 enzyme, and so therefore they all may have similar range of adverse effects. Whereas an allergy will occur based on the structure of the drug, so it can occur to drugs that are not necessarily designed to do the same thing but have a similar chemical structure.
Yep. And so moving on to the third area that the article discusses, which is intolerances, and it's a term that's used a bit. What does it mean, and sort of what are the things that it may include?
Well, intolerance is probably the most sort of nebulous and poorly defined of the terms. In fact, there is a formal definition, which means an unusually low threshold for the development of a pharmacological adverse reaction. And so, whereas nausea at a therapeutic or high dose of morphine can be considered a side effect, severe hyperemesis at a low dose of codeine would be considered an intolerance, in the sense that that patient is clearly unduly susceptible to a pharmacological side effect. However, intolerance is frequently used less specifically than that as a general term, which simply means that the patient develops a vague, perhaps, side effect on exposure to the drug. For example, patients may take a medication and come in saying, oh, that medication made me feel unwell, or I didn't feel quite right on that, or I got headaches while I was taking that. And these may be effects that are not listed amongst the common side effects, or there may be effects that are not predictable based on the pharmacology of the drug, but we would sort of loosely use the term, oh, well, the patient didn't tolerate the drug, they're intolerant to that drug.
Yep.
So whether you call it something an intolerance or a side effect, there's sometimes a bit of overlap there, but it can be a reasonable term to use.
And if we're using, I'll say, the true meaning of the word intolerance, of the unusually low susceptibility to side effect or to actions,
yes.
Why might it be important to differentiate that from an allergy to a drug?
Well, again, because it is a pharmacological effect, as you've said, other drugs from the same group, and this is coming back to a well-known example, if a patient has an intolerance to codeine, they're likely to be have a similar, if not worse, reaction with morphine, which would have a stronger pharmacological effect.
Yep. Excellent. So we've sort of run through the big one of allergies and then two of the other areas. Thinking back, what are a couple of key points you want GPs to bear in mind when considering adverse drug reactions?
Well, we've gone to a bit of trouble to try to distinguish allergy from side effect and intolerance, not because of semantics, but because of the implications for future use. And at the end of the day, regardless of whether it's an allergy, an intolerance, or a side effect, you do have to consider whether that drug can be tried again in the future and whether it would be safe or dangerous to do so. And I like to divide the future recommendations into three levels. There are some situations in which a drug clearly should not be used again. I would call that an absolute contraindication because that drug has produced reactions which were dangerous and which have a high likelihood to occur in the future or to be reproducible. There are some situations in which a drug has produced an adverse reaction of moderate severity or less likely to occur on re-exposure, in which case I might say that drug was relatively contraindicated. But such that if there were another drug that would do just as good a job without that risk, obviously one would prefer to use the other drug. But if that drug were strongly indicated to treat a particular condition and if the previous reaction had been of moderate severity or perhaps some time in the past, you would perhaps be considering trying that drug again. And the third category might be a drug that, you know, one would say could be used, but perhaps with a little caution. So perhaps a mild adverse reaction, which may not occur subsequently. And you might warn the patient, well, look, I think this should be okay. If anything were to happen, it's not likely to be dangerous, and let's just see how you go. And obviously one needs to be cautious about all of that and not take too many risks, but certainly one also needs to apply common sense and not necessarily wipe out the future use of every drug that's ever caused an adverse reaction.
Yep, and Table 9 provides some specific examples that people can look at that sort of might help clarify those in practice. So, and I suppose the last point is medic alert bracelets. When would you recommend those?
I think the use of a medic alert bracelet is an interesting one, and it does tend to vary in practice. Some people wear medic alert bracelets which carry lists of every drug they've had an adverse reaction to. In my opinion, a medic alert bracelet is strongly indicated if a patient has had a severe or dangerous adverse reaction to a drug, whether it's an allergy or a side effect, particularly in situations where there's a possibility that patient might be exposed to that drug in an emergency situation. So, for example, if a patient were in a car accident and had a dirty wound, they might need an antibiotic. And if that antibiotic has in the past caused anaphylaxis, then that's clearly a situation where a medic alert bracelet should be issued to avoid future use. And if a drug reaction was mild or moderate and in situations where the drug is more likely to be used electively, you know, oral drugs, then I don't think it's quite such a strong indication. There may be special cases, for example, where a patient's unlikely to remember the nature of their adverse reaction, or you feel that there's another reason why it's necessary. But certainly the strongest indication for a medical alert is the severe reactions and the potential for administration in an emergency situation where the patient can't talk about their previous problem.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today. And I'll just remind people that the full article can be found in the January-February 2013 edition of AFP. Thanks, William.
Pleasure.